Rastex. Good morning.
Son, just one point that I want to make. I'm happy for the roads that are paving, but in the roads they have like hydrants and I don't know, some of the holes. So you still have to be shifting from these holes. I was wondering if these persons that put down these hydrants or whatever, if they couldn't bring up these hydrants to the level of the road so that you won't have to be still shifting from hole to hole to hole.
The way the work, the way the work seems to be done, and I'm saying seems to be done because, like you, I have observed sometimes when the road is stripped, the area around the hydrant or the manhole or whichever it is, remains, or the guttering remains high in some cases, seems to me to facilitate the repaving. However, when the repaving is done, the area around the hydrant is either below the level of which the road has been done, or there's some discrepancy in the heights, either up or down. There seems to be some disconnect between who and how the area around the hydrant is fixed in relation to how the rest of the road is done. I've seen it very often, and I agree with you, it is a problem, because sometimes you only realize how deep the depression is or how high the area is when you get onto it, and then you have to pull. And if you're in traffic, you know, you could have some fender benders and some slides and hits. But it is an issue. Okay. I don't know how it's governed, whether the paving is done by one set of people and the hydrant is done by somebody else, or whether they don't measure correctly or whatever it is. But it is a problem, ma'am. I can't deny that.
Come together about that, because in the other bigger islands, you see these things done the way it should be done.
Yeah, I know.
But anyhow,
you see crews working together. One building hydrants, the other one paving and milling and doing the other stuff. Yeah, but we have a strange way of doing things. Perhaps when we get to the understanding that damaged cars require parts from overseas, which require the expenditure of foreign exchange, which causes a drain, etc., etc., etc. When we realize the buying on Amazon results in credit card charges, which results in us having less disposable income, so on. When we begin to draw those lines, we begin to get somewhere. But right now, we ain't drawing those lines. So we fixing it. Brastex, good morning. Hello.
Dennis, good morning.
I'm trying to hear you, but you got a lot
Mr.
of problems. I am trying to hear you, but you got a lot of noise. Yes.
Mr. Johnson.
For the third time, yes. For the fourth time, yes. Hello.
Morning. How are you? This is Mohammed Nasser.
Oh, you're in a lot of noise, Mr. Nasser. Where are you? Yes, sir.
I just quite, sir. On the road, that is why
I hope you're not driving.
Right next. But I want to ask this. I want to talk about four little things, but I'm sure that we can do them quickly. One is, last week, I got a lot of praises from Sanka Price about my experience and all kinds of things. But he said at the end that 40 years ago, I was not the same person. Now, as far as I know, from the time I was 10 years old, I was the same person. My mother used to tell me all the time, you don't love your sisters and brothers. You always say that if they're wrong, you will say that they're wrong. And I used to tell her then, but mama, if they're wrong, they're wrong. That way, I don't love them. So much so that sometimes they will hold meetings and block me out. Because, you know, not that they were doing a lot of bad things, but they were doing, like me, I would do bad wrong things in my life too. But from the time I had experience from about 14 years and 6 months, to know, I have never changed. I've never been a bad fella. And I never had arrest by the police. I have never had any problem by the other standard of defending workers in this country. And my boss, the only man I ever worked with once, he said to me, none of the workers don't like you because you are so good and still you always defending them. and they were telling him, oh, they don't have to like me. I like them. But I want to put that side of the world of something else, Mr. Johnson. Mm-hmm. Listen, black people and barbarians better accept that everything is being done to enslave them again, and they can be re-educated slaves if they're not that anymore. The next thing that I would like, Mr. Johnson, to make you understand is this. There's no way that people who you give economic power to are going to easily give up any of it to you. You're going to have to prepare to take it. You don't have to take it in no revolution or no war. You have to take it by demanding, one, that the workers of this country become owners of these businesses. Two, that they must be treated equally to any other worker at any level in Barbados. And three, that they value the same thing as management of the companies. The problem in Barbados, Mr. Johnson, is that we seem to think that don't care how well we educate our people, don't care how well they develop, we still want to treat them like if they're normal, average people who you don't have to care about. What's your opinion, Mr. Johnson, about that?
So you have two problems to deal with. Problem number one that you have to deal with is people who don't want to listen to you because they just don't like to hear what you're saying. One. Two, you have another group of people who ask the question, if everybody owns business, who can buy from them? That's their mindset. The same mindset that says, if you educate everybody, who can sweep the street? Or who can pick up the garbage? Or, you know, who can clean the road? And that kind of, who can weed the road, right? That's the second mindset. The third mindset says, be content with what you got. That's enough for you. You know, you're doing better than you did 40 years ago. So, you know, why you want to upset everybody? I had to try something that I know you don't want me to do because you could do it yourself. But I had to try to defend you the other day to somebody who said that nobody is bothered with you. I just give you all this time on the radio and why you and I ain't going to get your own radio station. I said to them, listen to me. Perhaps it's the books that he gives me to read that makes me understand the gentleman. Because it's not we just sit down and have, you know, Sunday coffee and crumpet. The problem is that the message that I hear when you talk is this. You have Syrian and Lebanese business people who get together and form their organizations to improve themselves. You have Jewish community that get together to improve themselves. So all you're saying is that our community, people like you and me, get together to improve ourselves. There ain't nothing wrong with that. But they don't see that. I said the second problem he has is that he sees religion as practiced by some people as being a hindrance. You've often said you believe in a creator, right? But you've said if you have a religion that says, well, Jesus is a white fellow with blue eyes and long hair, and if you pray to him, everything will be all right. You ain't gonna try to do nothing. You'll get your reward in the next, not here. But give me some money and I'll pray for you and I can make it right with Jesus. And I have all the money and you have none. And then you against that. The person did not see my point, sir, but I tried my best. Okay. Look, the problem, sir, is our minds that say if you do so, you're stepping out of your class, you're stepping out of your boots, you're stepping on somebody's corns and they're going to spite you. And they're going to make it difficult for you and me and the rest of we, so just hush. That's what the message is, sir. And I can't put it any other way.
Yes, sir. Mr. Johnson, I want to say something out here. Mm-hmm. Look, you see government?
Yes.
You hear me, Mr. Johnson?
I'm hearing you clearly, sir.
You see government?
Mm-hmm.
The time has come in this country where barbarian people must demand, they must have referendums on certain decisions that governments are making.
Correct.
Because, I'm serious about this, I am convinced that government after government are making decisions not because they want to do it, but because they are under pressure.
Yeah, they have
and
to
they
do
have
it.
To do it.
Mm-hmm.
If you decide to let a referendum be the decision that got to, that to be the rule to guide government, because 30 people in parliament in a 30 brighter people than anybody else. They just run for parliament and they win seat. And anybody, you, Johnson, me, anyway, can run at the right time and win seat. Anybody, if Eric City wanted to run at a certain time, people would win a seat. Then going to parliament do not make you no superstar. people had to vote for somebody and they voted for you. Because that's all that was available at the time after they frustrated what they had before. Because people never, ever yet vote for an opposition. They always vote out the government that is in control of them. Mm-hmm. And hence, I believe that we're giving too much power to 30 people in parliament and this country and this... I want to tell you, you know, I'm going to say this all the time. You're going to tell me I'm all that nasty, say A, B, C, or D. I'm only got ears and she can hear. And them only know me real good.
She's busy.
You understand?
She got carry come to deal with.
It's not discussion of government. It's to do with policy, right? And the program that we are having in Barbados are destroying black people. We are becoming more and more slaves. The rich getting everything, and the poor are being frustrated and dragged into the ground. All the millions of black businesses are being destroyed. And you believe Mohammed Nasser to sit down with my intelligence and don't say nothing about it, Mr. Johnson? Anybody who believes that, mad? Because it cannot continue. I just heard a brother there before me talking about business. The truth is that the Prime Minister just said that all government uniforms must be made in Barbados. She must say all government school furniture must be made here. All government office furniture must be made here. Because there's a time when all used to be made here. And it used to be real good. And tomatoes and everybody had a war over a chair that they built for everybody. I built a chair for the right excellent Airbar, and when Tom Adams took over the office, he was using chair. I did not build it for the guy, I built it for the right excellent Airbar. And Tom Adams called me and told me, Nasser, who you build this chair for? For the government or for the Prime Minister Barr? I said, I built that for Mr. Barr. He told me, all right, build one for me, and when you finish, take this one, clean it up, and give it back to Mr. Barr. So we always can produce quality work. What we are doing in this country is a lot of minority people to come in here, take advantage of our people, and everybody fight the talk because they feel if they talk that they will be victimized. Well, let me tell you people something in this country. You are already being victimized. There's no difference between you and a horse on the gas and running around the gas in a horse race. You are value for nothing unless you take a stand.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. Brass Stacks, good morning.
Good morning, Dennis. This Hello. Is Yvette Harris-Griffith from Barbados Water Authority. How are you?
I'm fine, ma'am. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm fine. And the circumstances?
Mm-hmm.
Fine and happy to report, as you would have read earlier, that the authorities' crews would have worked throughout the night to drain water from the area in Fairview, Christchurch,
mm-hmm. right.
where we have the burst on the 16-inch main. With that, area has been drained. We have located the burst on the main, and it's been isolated for repairs to start.
Hmm. Good.
So that's happening as we speak. Last night, we would have updated the public that we were shutting down Hampton Pump Station yesterday evening around 7:30. It actually shut off just before 8:30, and that was for us to change a damaged pump at that facility. That was successfully done, and the station was put back online just before midnight. And is working at present. However, because of the work being carried out on the burst main, mm-hmm. the situation, the station is currently pumping at a reduced capacity. But it does continue to provide water to three of the four distribution systems that it supplies normally.
What are those three? Because that okay. was not in the message, and I was wondering which areas are affected.
Sure. No mm-hmm. problem, Dennis. With me this morning, I do have our general manager, Keith Roy Halliday, our director of engineering, Charles Leslie, mm-hmm. and acting superintendent in charge of that area, Mr. Courtney Brathwaite.
Oh, you got mail cover.
It's nice seeing the rose among the thorns, or the thorn among the roses.
I will leave them to say what you are. Good morning, gentlemen. The areas affected.
Okay, the Hampton pumping station normally supplies four areas with water. Hampton to Vineyard, mm-hmm. Hampton to Spencer's, Hampton to Rising Sun, and Hampton to Sunbury. So those are the four areas that it normally supplies.
Okay. And the number of persons in the area most likely to be affected, because I saw in the notice something about schools in the area.
Yes, the system that is most likely affected today would be the Hampton to Rising Sun system. So schools like the Dighton Griffith, the Foundation, the Milton Lynch, and the Christchurch Grove School, those are the ones that would have been affected. But we've been supplying them with water via the tankers. To also aid in the supply of water into the area, we've extended the boundary from an adjacent system, the Fort George system, to satisfy the Dighton Griffith School. So at least we don't have to be rushing backward and forward with a tanker to supply that one.
Okay. Now, having isolated the cause of the and the size of the leak, estimated time of getting things back up to as close to normal as possible?
Well, we have started to work on it. We have excavated and we are actually started to work on the burst. The site obviously has its challenges, so we are still a bit cautious about predicting a time for it to be completed, because the area is still
waterlogged.
We've pumped off all of the water, but it's still challenging working in the area, and it's going to be a slow process in terms of being able to excavate all of the muddy stuff in that area and replace the main.
One of the questions I've often wanted to ask, and I'm glad you got the team there. Hopefully, I can get an answer. When you're dealing with aged mains, the size of the mains, the type of the mains, and the connections seems sometimes to present a challenge based on the size of new pipes. Is there a challenge, an ongoing challenge in repairing these old and large burst mains?
Sometimes there is a challenge because of exactly what you spoke about. Some of these mains were installed very long ago, and at that time we had fittings being brought in from the British and fittings being brought in from the Americas. So you have English and you have the metric system.
And the sizes are not the same.
Right, especially with the very old ones. You don't have records that will give you information on some of those very old ones. So when we actually do the excavation, then we have to trying to qualify things to get those older ones.
The reason why I asked that question is because I actually saw your crew working on a burst, and I stood there with the guys looking at what they were doing, and what I saw was some old pipes, some new ones that were put in, almost fitted into the old one, and then padded around the outside with lead and other things to make the new one fit. And then when they had to remove that because over a period of time had become, worn or broken, they really had a challenge, because what they were looking at were almost three different sizes of pipes that they were trying to make a connection to. And it did get a little difficult for them, let me put it that way. So,
We don't use lead in our systems anymore, but what we normally do when we
come across those is try to remove them.
Right. When we come across those, we remove them. But what we also do with the old pipes is we would take the measurements of the old pipe and try to get fittings so that the next time you're wrong, you wouldn't have that same challenge.
Right.
You probably would have a different challenge, but not that same one.
Okay, sir. Well, just keep us updated. And if there is anything further you need to relate to the public, please do let us know.
Thank you, Mr. Yearwood.
Dennis, I just wanted to make a point of distinction based on feedback that we've been seeing either through social media or in some instances directly.
Right.
Which is that there are really, at the broadest level, two central issues at play here. One is the drought, which is very separate and distinct from the situation that we've encountered at Hampton. We have seen some comments that have said that the narrative keeps changing in that respect, and I believe that there was some confusion. So we just wanted to make the point that they're two separate issues, and the combination of the two separate issues makes it very difficult, even so much more for us and for all of those people who we are serving in that particular area. So I just wanted to make the point that, yes, we are still in a drought, going into a drought, Yes, all reservoir levels are still low in respect of the water storage and output production capacities at the pump station, pumping and other and the stations. Mm-hmm. And then also in respect of the Hampton and what we're trying to do, coming out of the Hampton station and the several distribution networks that have been affected, that is what is exacerbating the situation for those individuals or consumers in that area.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you very much, sir, as well, for the information. Yvette, anything else you need to let us know?
Not at this point, Dennis. Mm-hmm. I will keep you everyone up to date during the course of the afternoon with what is happening in regard to the repair of this 16-inch burst.
Thank you very much indeed. That's Yvette Harris-Griffith and the members of her team from the Barbados Water Authority, and I thank you for that update. Here we go. Got to try to read this WhatsApp message for you. Where is it? As I see it. Brass Stacks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Good morning.
There are two concerns I would like to raise with you this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Could you tell me if the use of the breathalyzer is on the statute books of Barbados?
That's a good question. The breathalyzer, amended Road Traffic Act states the prescribed limit for alcohol, I presume that means that the breathalyzer testing legislation is somewhere in the mix. Whether it's there already or not, I don't know. I can check that to find out whether it has been proclaimed.
I am asking that because last night the acting commissioner made a very strange statement to me.
Which was?
He said that the police force is not going to be enforcing it at this point in time because the public is in need of more education.
Well, the reason, and this is why, when you read what the Act says, when I listen to the public service announcements that were put out by the GIS, they talked about micrograms of alcohol in 100 milliliters of breath. You understand what that means? Okay, good. Let me go ahead. 80 milligrams of alcohol in 100 milliliters of blood, or 100 milligrams of alcohol in 100 milliliters of urine. You understand what that means? So when you have a situation and then you get road safety officials say two beers or two small glasses of wine would put a driver over the limit. Was a small glass of wine? And was the alcoholic content of the wine? You see, when you have statements like this as being the measure, what you have is a public that's either ill-informed or confused. And therefore, if a police officer stops you and you do a breathalyzer test and he says you're over the limit, and you choose to query it, what's the procedure? What do you do? If you're alone in the car, what happens? Do you get towed away? Do you park the car? Get sent to the hospital for further testing? If you refuse, are you arrested? Those are the things that I suppose you have to make the public aware and alert. Because, for example, was the alcoholic content of Angostura bitters? It's certainly more than the alcoholic content of a beer. So if you drink a glass of water with alcoholic bitters in it because you figure that would ease your headache or whatever, and the alcohol in your bloodstream is above the level of two beers, and you didn't drink two beers, what you had was a glass of bitters and water. You see why you need education? Because I know you as confused as I am right now.
I'm not querying anything about education.
What you're querying is why they're not enforcing it?
If a law has been proclaimed,
why you're not passing? Why you're not enforcing it? Say that they're not enforcing it.
They're not going to enforce it.
I see your point. I take your point.
All right. The other query.
Maybe one of those misspoke. Yeah, maybe. The other
one. Last week, I wanted to get in contact with a of Bank Branch.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the directory. They gave me the PBX. Then I dialed the PBX. I got a recording which told me if I knew the number of the party I wanted to contact, I could call now.
Mm-hmm.
And then they gave me an overseas number for an advisory center. Then I called the overseas number. I got a recording that the branches were open now, and I was free
to call
the one I wanted. And up to this day, I have not been able to get in contact with the branch I wanted to get in contact with.
The branch still exists?
The branch still exists.
Nobody answers the phone, or the phone not ringing?
I have to go there and do the business that I want to transact.
So, communication seems to be our weakness these days. And from time to time here on the program, I would see a WhatsApp message saying, can you give us the number to X, or can you give us the number to Y? This number is not answering, or I can't get a response from that number. I've been calling it all day. And the use of technology to transfer calls from one place to another, rather than seeming to assist those using that medium, seems to want to confuse them more. And to me, what is more aggravating is when you finally sometimes get the number transferred to the number you want, you get a message that says this box is full, or you know, some other comment like that, and it's cut off. And this is after going through four or five different transfers and pressing four or five different numbers. It is a problem. Maybe they don't want you to call. I don't know. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, problem. Mr. Johnson.
Thanks as well, sir. Somebody said, when is ignorance a defense against the law? There are people who will never understand the quantities of whatever reason, and thus this cannot be used to deter, to defer enforcement. I took the gentleman's point. I thank you for underlining it. The email, the WhatsApp that I wanted to read, I found it. It says, Massey is the best thing to happen to Barbados. Massey is about profit, not keeping small business down. You can now go and set up a business that without having to worry about being crushed. Look at the many small players in the market now. Stop complaining and look for the opportunities that are available. A lot of young people are investing in the wholesale and rental car business, something that should have been a no-no before, that would have been a no-no before. As long as Massey remains focused on profit, small businesses stand a chance. The problem we now face is a civil service who seem not to realize that there's a new boss in town and don't need them to protect it. Tell your listeners, Massey, about profit, not controlling everything. I have read your message. Brad Stacks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson. How are you this morning?
I am all right, sir. And you?
Not too bad. Mr. Johnson, yesterday morning, I happened to be at an institution where there were two tellers. At 9:05, crowd started to build up. One of the tellers told the other one, I'm going break.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Mr. Johnson, my two knees was hurting me standing up. You know, Mr. Stand up in the line of a one teller. It took the other teller half an hour to come back. By the time she got back, I was at the other one. So, yeah, I explained to her. I said, wait, what time this bank open? She told me 8 o'clock. I said, in 5:09, she going break already?
Correct.
But she should have stayed home?
No, sir. You see, to get the bank open at 8 o'clock, some people have to be there prior to 7 o'clock. Some people have to leave home prior to 6 o'clock. And therefore, when you have a bank with a number of people there and you're open for a certain time, what the supervisory staff is supposed to do is to arrange when people go on break, but to ensure that there are adequate numbers to keep how many people are in the bank flowing. So therefore, if you have five tellers, you say, okay, at 9:30, the first one starts, 10 o'clock, the second one, 10:30, the third, 11 o'clock the 4th, and so on, so that by 1 o'clock, everyone has had a break, but you've had at least four people on at all times, so that your customers, you know, unless there are no customers in the bank, then you may send two on a break, but then you run the risk of while they're gone, the numbers build up and you have a problem. It is called organizing your workflow. What seems to happen too often is that there are insufficient numbers on the front line, and there seems to be no supervisory control that says shift this person to that person to there, depending on the workflow. Because if you have three tellers operating and two of them are attending the customers who have bulk work to do, somebody who may have 12 deposits, somebody who may have a transaction that's giving a problem, you then have to take up the slack by either moving the difficult customer or the customer who's giving you a challenge to somebody else and reinforcing it. Banks seem to have given that up because of something called ATM and online banking. But that was the system that I know, and that's why I could tell you about it, sir.
Okay, but what I'm saying, that was not the frontline teller, but that was a subsidiary. You know, you can go and get...
I understand, sir, and which is why, and that's the other thing. Banks have provided, some of them have provided places for people with challenges or people who have large transactions or, you know, but they're corporate customers. Yeah.
To be honest, when I finish, I look for the customer service manager office and I knock on her door.
Good.
I went in and we sat down, we spoke for about half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And she agreed with me. That is, the customers come first. She told her staff that the customers coming through this door, so it's pay me. I'll pay you. So you got to look out for the customers first.
So if I was a customer service rep, I would say so too, but yeah.
Huh?
If I was a customer service manager, I would say so too, because it would make you happy. It may not be because I believe it, because it will make you happy. Because the customer service manager is the person who's supposed to ensure that the flow on the front does not affect you. So it's her job or his job to make sure that a teller does not say, I'm going to break now just by themselves. They should be supervised, as I said earlier.
Yeah, you understand that. But my reason really for being angry is that she came, the lady told me they came in at 8 o'clock. They started at 8. So, and 5 minutes, and now you go on break.
Sir, I'm trying to tell you again, right?
Do you understand what you said?
Sir, I'm trying to tell you again for the third time that if that's what they do, that they come in at 8 for 8 o'clock, somebody at management level should be fired. Because that's not what you're supposed to do. Because when you come in, you're supposed to go and get your cash. You're supposed to make sure you set up. You're supposed to make sure you stamp is changed to the correct date and that you're ready to accept the first customer at 8 o'clock. You cannot come in at 8 o'clock to do that. That's a management problem.
Okay. One more last thing. Mr. Johnson, you feel that a service provider should be still providing Christmas music on their channels?
If you're paying for it.
Huh?
If you're paying for it.
If I'm paying for the Christmas music?
Yeah.
By paying, but why I don't want Christmas music. Sometimes I just sit there and listen to little things that Tchaikovsky and that type of music. They took off three of those channels and still got Christmas music. I called and I complained about it and it's still on. Well, I can't run off a floor no matter the disease, so I got to take it. I got to sit there and listen to Christmas music every while, is it?
That's what you're paying for, sir. Have a good one. I really feel for you and your service providers. Because you're obviously not happy with them, but, you know, you still have it. Apparently, you don't have a choice. Brass Stacks, good morning.
Morning, Dennis. How are you?
I'm all right, sir.
You know who this is?
Yes, I got your voice, sir.
Before I get out of my subject, let me ask you a question. I just smile at my boy. Yeah, just get off talk. You know that? When you're leaving Carrollton and A1 supermarket, you're supposed to turn left and go down Black Rock?
Correct. You're not supposed to turn against the flow of traffic. According to the arrow inside the car park,
yeah,
unless they move it.
You know the reason for that? Many traffic turn out of the turn right because the bus stop is just opposite. When they turn right, the bus driver can't see who's in the rearview mirror because he can't see you coming out.
You're blank.
Good. And when this bus driver is looking in his mirror, nothing is coming. He move off. Nope.
Let me ask this question then.
But before you go there, do you know they can turn left by the old Carrollton and then turn right down further down by the pedestrian crossing?
Which is why I was about to ask.
Yeah.
Why were they allowed to put an exit there if you got a bus stop across the road? Isn't that not planning?
No planning. Mm-hmm. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Let me get my main subject.
Mm-hmm.
You would have seen something that I put up on Facebook, and I think I sent it to you.
You sent it to me, yeah.
Dennis, that annoys me. You cannot put a roundabout by the Redmond Village intersection. You send it further down the road where the area is far less room to facilitate a roundabout. But you could put one up on a straight road going from Edie Village, St. David, Edie Village going up the street. That long stretch of road, a straight road, because somebody developing on the right, you are going to put a roundabout there. And look how it is swerved in like a chicane. If they had gone out wider to the left where the sidewalk is and giving you more room, I stood there and watched container trucks can't get through there properly. I watched it yesterday, but back again this morning to make sure that my eyes weren't don't be twisted. I don't know. I honestly do not know. I you know, Dennis, I don't see Common Country planning to do that. I see that, but I just get to make that just all. So every time you're developing those, you're gonna have to put a roundabout at the exit for those persons. How much traffic gonna be coming over there, Dennis?
Maybe there are plans to. Maybe there are plans to extend or expand the area.
But sir, it's a straight road. It's a T junction.
Maybe they plan to change the junction, sir. I don't know what the plans are. I don't know what the plans are. I saw it, but I don't know what the plans are.
Listen, you gotta go and see it. Seeing it on the video might not be as bad as standing up and looking at it. Dennis, it works. Listen, you remember the old thing they said, worse than that?
Yeah, I know that worse than that, yeah.
And Dennis, you know the road this bothered me a lot. All right, I heard you said earlier about using Bridgetown Broad Street and making it one-way street. It might very good.
Bay Street.
After the construction or whatever is going on. Mm. Obviously, that could most likely work, coming into town only and exiting through the area of the wharf and getting back out onto Fairchild Street.
Mm.
But if you're going to do Bay Street as a one-way street, then you can't shut down Broad Street.
I know that, which is why I said I have often said in the past that I would like Broad Street to be a pedestrianized area. But taking into consideration the development that's now supposed to extend all the way down to Carlisle House and City, you can't do it. It can be impossible. Yeah. You need more out. You might even have to open back up Swan Street.
But it will be
a challenge unless you build another ring road or something.
We can't turn most of our streets into one-way streets. Look at Bank Hall for the King Edward Road and all them roads up there. We turn into one-way street, and it's causing problems for people who live in that area.
In the area.
If we leave those roads, if we leave the roads open, I would think that was done because they're trying to stop that ass from going through them. Sir, it's inconvenient. Take for instance, when Station Hill was being rebuilt, that Hinesbury Road, Buckingham Road, was closed for a long period.
Correct.
And we had two minor accidents in there with rearview mirrors touching each other. No accidents to complain about. Then we come back after the road fixed now and put back up starting to 93. Now, we got to get real. I mean, it's all, yes, we can criticize, but we can also give opinions as to what we think can work. Leave them open. If these others are doing wrong, that is the police job. The police has to police them. We have to police them. But when we are in them, you can't do this or you shouldn't do that. I'm getting out. You get where I'm coming from?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Good. Now, let me. There is a lot of things out here from the road that bother me sometimes. And you know how I am when it comes to using our road. Every road has a mark. Every road has markings. every road has signs, or most of the roads have signs. Or there are certain areas that we should operate on the road. You see that roundabout there, we some other ideas call it some words wrong. We don't call it that, I call it some words roundabout. I believe that if you want to get the HMB in that area, you should enter below the Giselle building. Or come down from Redmond Village side and stay in the left and enter there. You should not be going up in there from Warren Roundabout. So that means you're going to hold it right there at Warren Roundabout and crisscross halfway in the roundabout. That should never be. There's no way you should be crisscrossing in any roundabout. And that's our main problem. People don't know where to go. Or we're going to have to mark it more regular. Keep it white, white and pretty. But you see that entrance in there by HMB? That should be and you should be able to go in there and exit there.
Mm-hmm.
Enter and exit right below the Giselle building.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about it?
Don't disagree with you.
The other thing, too, is that we continue to make this left lane or center lane exit onto the right or U-turn. You're coming from the area of Warren and you're going into that roundabout. You're holding the center lane. It happens daily, especially with big trucks, too. The men hold the center lane and cut across you halfway in the roundabout and going towards Redmond Village.
Yeah, but you see, but that's because of incorrect use or the... Anyway, that's just bad practice. The only thing that I would tell you, though, is that exiting from the area down by the Digicel building, sometimes is a little difficult because of the speed at which people travel coming down there. However, you have enough room to make the filter from there. Because don't forget, you got a filter further down if you want to go to Jackson. So you can make the filter from higher up.
Make the filter from higher up. Correct. You can exit and then filter.
Which gives you an opportunity to filter, which will make it a little easier. Which will make it a little easier.
But the road is wide enough to come out and go in there. Two trucks to come out and enter in that area. But we don't need to put it only going in. And most people don't use that, you know.
I know that. Or they use it incorrectly.
Simple. But there's so much we can talk about, Dennis. I don't want to stay too long, but... You know, I will get back to you another time. We have some other things to discuss, but they need to learn the drivers, MTW, et cetera, and some other day, maybe we shall call you back and get it working. But we hope the drivers out here would understand that you do not own the road. You're only using the road, and you must remember the other drivers. Think not only of yourself, but remember. And sometimes you've got to, like drive your vehicle and the other one, you know. And that you have to drive two vehicles at one time because another guy, you don't know if he's sick, you don't know if he doesn't understand it. I give it, and we too cruel to each other. We aggressive. We quarreling and fighting on the road, fighting for space. No, leave all my time. Dennis, have a good one.
You too, sir. Take care. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Hello. Good morning.
Yes, ma'am.
Good morning. I live in the Christchurch area, and we have a bad problem. We haven't had any water since yesterday because of a burst pipe that the waterworks is working on. But still yet, nobody passed to give us little water, the water trucks or anything.
What area is this?
The Silver Hill Christchurch area.
Silver Hill Christchurch?
Yes, please.
Okay. I hope the folks on Water Authority are still monitoring and that they hear your plea. I think there's another message I saw here from another area of Christchurch that they were asking about it. Here we go. What are the areas without water in Christchurch? Because they said they have
Newton,
a problem.
Mm-hmm. Newton, Lodge Road.
And where you
Silver Hill, Silver Hill. Fender Hill. Yes, around those districts.
And this person said they live in Kingsland as Kingsland Terrace, and
yes,
they have none
please.
As well.
Yes,
okay, ma'am,
please.
I hope they're listening to you and that they will work to get one of the tankers run to your area.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
I do have it.
You too, ma'am. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Good morning, my lady. How are you?
I am good. I called to there's something that is worrying. So I was listening to see if I hear anything, but you know something, you got to speak. St. Lucy, the state hospital, is being used for one of the one of the
quarantine.
Yeah, the quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
I know there is disabled persons on there where some of their family don't even remember them is on there. I remember when the search and then they want to open one out there by the school in Denver. It was a great stick out of logic. Now it's down to the December, with the December in St. Lucie Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't hear anything about it. I know people might not want me to speak, but I have to speak when I see issues because I have a disability and I don't know when the same thing might happen to me. So you always have to speak up. I know you have to find some way to push it, but I ain't hear any person. And this disabled person don't either. I know that their family don't even go to see, so they're not even interested what is happening to them. I guess that it would be in a secure spot that the nurses and the patients will not be able to catch anything. I ain't see it in person, I see it on the TV. So I guess hope for the nurses and the patients it will be very secure that nobody at all will not be able to anything to catch anything. That was an issue that I was listening and worrying about to see what will happen about it.
I thank you very much, Rosalind, for sharing that with us. It is something I think we need to be concerned about, because sometimes one of the challenges facing persons with disabilities is that their reduced immune system causes them to be very susceptible to just about anything. So therefore, their safety and their health must be a great concern. We have the regional roundup next, and more of your calls on this, the Tuesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks.